Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And as for Trump, how are you going to call yourself the president of law and order when you're openly flouting the law? And not even for like a noble reason. No, it's just so that he can spend 90 minutes ranting about how vegetables were invented by the deep state and Hillary Clinton. And this isn't just about breaking the law. What Donald Trump is doing here is actually dangerous. The last time Trump held an indoor rally, he lost 25% of his black friends.
What? I don't even know what... What does that even mean?
We don't know anymore, Tim.
I'm a very stable genius.
Yes, you are, Mr. President.
I haven't heard that in so long.
I'm not even sure what to think of Trevor Noah there. He's flouting laws. How about all the blue state governors who are flouting the law with their out-of-control authoritarianism and disrespect for people's constitutional rights? I bet our next guest could talk about that. We'll bring in Dakota Wood, senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. You hear Dakota here quite a bit on the Annie Fry Show. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry today. Welcome back to 97.1. Busy last hour here. Let's kick it off with Dakota Wood of Heritage. Dakota, good afternoon. Thanks for joining the Annie Fry Show again.
Hey, it's good to be with you. They brought in the A team, huh?
Well, don't tell Annie that. I'm like the C plus. No, it's great to be back here. I think we've talked a couple times before, Dakota, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of your, I get to interview a lot of your colleagues over there at Heritage when I fill in for some of the other folks here throughout the week. So, Dakota, I want to get to that Trevor Noah clip, but let me first ask you mm-hmm. about the big news of the day. I'm going to ask you about it, Dakota, because unless you're watching the big Fox, you're not seeing it much reported anywhere else, or it's being reported as a distraction, according to Nancy Pelosi. And that's this new peace deal that the president has announced between Bahrain and Israel. Dakota, isn't this a big deal, not just for the United States, but for not just for the Middle East, but for the world?
It's a deal that a succession of presidents going back to the 1970s has been trying to put together. And for whatever reason, we can go into those, unable to do so. And then here you have Donald Trump. And he does not just the Israel-Bahrain, but, you know, a little while back, the Israel-UAE deal. And it opens the door for the big player, for Saudi Arabia and some of the others to come in. And the Trump administration was able to bypass the Palestinian issue and really take it to the heart of the ruling classes in all of these Arab countries and saying, look, what's in your long-term interest? And it's the art of the deal, right? It's flipping around, trying to find out what the interests are at, and it's solving a problem that has been in that part of the world for decades. And I think it is huge, and it's a crime that the other news outlets aren't covering this.
And Dakota, let's drill in to the why a little bit more. You made some references there, but you know, we've had some We've had some presidents previously who've worked on this who had a lot of chutzpah, were bigger than life characters, like Ronald Reagan, like Bill Clinton, like Barack Obama. They had their own little cults of personality. They were forces of nature. You don't become president unless you've got some of that. But what was it? What is it about Donald Trump that he's been able to cut through all that? What has he brought to bear? I mean, and Dakota, let me back up for a second. The media and the left have been telling us for 4 years that Donald Trump is deranged. He's a hypocrite. He's a bully. He should be removed from office because he's insane. Obviously, none of that is true. What was it about Donald Trump that he was able to cut through the clutter and get these agreements in place?
So I think this is stating an obvious point, right? He thinks in unconventional terms. So if you follow the standard playbook of foreign policy experts and those that have been in this business for a long, long time, you get the same answers, right? And so you have Trump that comes in and he says, look, you guys have been trying to do these sorts of things for 40 or 50 years. And where that has led us to is a militarized Western Pacific with China, revanche with Russia, a nuclear power in North Korea and Iran that is just all over the map in the Middle East. You tell me how your approach has really gotten the results that everybody says we want to get. So let's try something different. So it's an outsider who comes in with a different way of thinking, a different behavior, right? Instead of Clinton teacups and Parisian salons, he takes people to task. He calls out the ineffectiveness of the German government, the weakness of the British military, all these sorts of things. And it causes dissension and friction because nobody likes to be told that what they've been doing has been ineffective. And so it's this very kind of in-your-face approach that breaks things up and enables him to recognize opportunities or to create opportunities that weren't there before. So in times past, you had the Palestinian Authority, the Yasser Arafat, and all that stuff that was going on. You had an economic picture there in the Middle East. That has changed. And I think a big lever in making this change is Trump's policies to gain energy independence for the United States. So he can now say and do things and push initiatives. Well, we're not dependent on the Saudis or anybody else turning off the oil spigot. You remember the oil line, the gas lines in the 1970s and elsewhere, right?
Absolutely.
So when you have control of your own key resources, it gives you freedom to maneuver and to be able to say and do things that weren't possible in an earlier era. And this really showcases the connectedness, right, on how you can see a larger picture on trade policy that benefits the United States, energy policy that benefits the United States, and really re-strengthening the U.S. military that gives us confidence to go out and do things that other administrations have not been able to do or willing to do. And we see a different set of outcomes.
That's the America First agenda, and the left doesn't understand it. They don't think the policy exists, but I think that's the one that we've seen develop. Dakota, from what you've heard, in D.C. in the area, are there more deals? Are there any more in the works? Do you know? Is there any indication that the president is working overtime on this issue?
Well, you know, he loves to give hints, right? And part of that is gamesmanship. You know, you keep people kind of on edge and expecting, and you get to another big point, whether it's upcoming general election or maybe it's closure on some other agreement that you're trying to get in place. You know, he has to keep in mind what's Russia's position in the region, what is Turkey doing with respect to Greece and in North Africa, China with its Belt and Road Initiative, trying to get economic agreements in place with members of the European Union. So all of these cards are on the table. And what he's doing is showing actual wins that open the door for other wins. Now, is there a deal with Saudi Arabia and Israel in the offing in the next week or two? I don't know that. But what we are getting is indications from the administration that they are working this issue behind the scenes. And oftentimes you have something that you put out that's a small win in the big scheme of things because it makes it possible to get the larger win. And so I think this UAE deal and the Bahrain deal with Israel opens the door for Arab countries to see how the local populations reacted. to see if there's economic benefit, sales of military equipment from the United States. You know, this discussion about the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter possibly going to UAE. So you have to kind of navigate those very rocky waters and make things possible that weren't possible 6 months ago.
Dakota Wood is Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation on the phone with us. Dakota, for somebody coming into this who's not versed in foreign policy at all, you know, they know a little bit about what's going on in America and politics, but this kind of stuff is like, well, where do I even find these places on a map? Paint a picture as to why these deals are good for America and for our allies like Israel and bad for our enemies longer term like Iran.
Yeah, I try to bring this in my own thinking to local. You know, how do I view my world as an individual, as a family, as a local community? And a lot of the time this comes to quality of life, security, jobs. If I want jobs at home, I want to be able, in a business is able to sell goods and services, I have to have a market, right, that I can sell those things to. So the more people you have on your team in terms of other countries and regions, you have access to their markets. Where regions are in turmoil, politically unstable, the security picture is a mess. Like when Islamic State, you know, controlled two-thirds of Syria and a third of Iraq and was threatening forces in Saudi Arabia, it is really hard to conduct good trade and to bring jobs back here at home and make sure that we have a high standard of living when the rest of the world is immersed in upheaval. So United States foreign policy should always have in mind, how does it benefit Americans back here at home in St. Louis and Tulsa and Colorado Springs, right? And so that's why we need to stay engaged. So the point earlier about an America First policy is not isolationist by any stretch of the imagination. It is, how do we arrange agreements with other countries and a U.S. presence that ultimately benefits the United States? And usually that is achieving political stability, the reduction of fighting between countries. I mean, Israel has been at war six or seven times with Arab neighbors who have tried to eliminate the state of Israel. And so the deal with the peace agreement with Egypt in the 1970s is because Israel won that military conflict and the Egyptians really needed to sue for peace. That followed on with Jordan in the early 1990s. And it's been that long now since we've had, you know, some kind of a peace agreement. So this outreach of peaceful negotiations and productive relationships between Israel and other countries, or our involvement in Afghanistan or Iraq or, you know, any other place in the world, is always to make sure that we've got a secure environment back home and we've got good trading partners and access to those foreign markets.
Dakota, I was paging through the Heritage Foundation Twitter feed, I found a final item I wanted to ask you about, and it has ties both to the international sphere and one of our enemies. Whether the Democratic Party and Joe Biden think China is an existential threat or not is kind of beside the point, because I think all Americans realize they are, whether it's the China virus issue or whether it's trade or whether it's the massive army they're promoting and the islands. The islands they're literally building in the South China Sea or whatever it may be. And this has ties back to national issues as well. And the tweet was about Heritage is asking, you know, do you still think Black Lives Matter is harmless? And the story is about the fact that one of the Black Lives Matter, the official organization, is its co-founders is teaming up with a pro-communist China group to lobby for policies designed to take America down. And the problem, Dakota, is you can't criticize Black Lives Matter because they so cleverly name themselves that you're called a racist. But this has nothing to do with that, does it, Dakota? It has to do with somebody in America, part of a very interesting populist uprising group, teaming up with communist China to actually lobby our government?
Yeah, so it's always the exploitation of language, you know, taking something that would be good and twisting that in a way that serves your own agenda. And so that's like with this name of Black Lives Matter. Well, of course lives matter. You know, of course we don't want to be racist and prejudicial in our daily lives and those sorts of things. But when you look at the actual platform, the agenda of the Black Lives Matter organization, it's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. Anarchic, it's fascist, it's you know, communist in its leanings. I mean, it's just out and out bad. So now if you're a capital like Beijing or Moscow, you know, the political masters in those countries, you're going to look for opportunities to fund and support groups that lead to the destabilization of America. And so the marriage of these, whether it's Xi Jinping and the Communist Chinese Party in Beijing and Black Lives Matter or something that Putin is doing to support some group in the United States, it's a win for both of those groups. BLM and like-minded organizations get funding and support and expertise or cyber support or whatever to forward their agenda. And a government like the Communist Party in Beijing gets benefit out of that as well. So I think by shining the light on these kinds of odious relationships and the danger that they present to average everyday Americans who are trying to live peaceful, productive lives, it is a critically important public service. And we just need to be aware that these things are going on in the background. It's not some, you know, conspiracy theory sort of weird stuff. This stuff has happened between countries for centuries. It was certainly a part of the Cold War, where various communist movements would try to undermine democratically elected republic forms of government. And it continues on today in the modern context.
Fantastic. Great roundup there. Dakota Woods, Senior Research Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Thanks so much again, Dakota, for joining us on the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate all the incredible comprehensive insight. Have a great rest of your
week. Great pleasure. Thank you.
You can follow Dakota and a lot of his works at Heritage. And also, I've noticed they've got like a couple other little Heritage Twitter handles as well. Heritage on the Hill was the one I was referring to just now. I'm on Twitter at Speaker Tim Jones. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show. We can take your phone calls in the next segment before we get a good old Tony Colombo in here to help us wrap things up. So give us a holler. 314-241-9797 is, despite the fact the liberal media is completely ignoring peace in the Middle East, something we've wanted for millennia, it feels like, and every president has promised it. Donald Trump has made promises kept. Do you think that's important heading into the election, or is it going to be all about how much, you know, this, that, and the other thing on coronavirus? And I'll remind you what the liberal media was talking about as far as people dying from coronavirus, oh, back way in April, when we come back on the Annie Fry Show at 97.1 FM Talk.
We have to get much tougher. We're getting weak and soft with a lot of the Democrat-run cities, and you're not seeing this. You take a look at the cities. The top 10 are Democrat-run. The top 25 are, I think, almost all Democrat-run. And their policies are horrible. They've taken respect away from police officers. They've degraded them. They've fired them. You look at New York, they fired a tremendous number of police, and crime is through the roof, but they fired them. They make it so that if you speak up, you end up losing your pension, you end up losing your job.
And I resent the remark about making America great again.
Yeah, why would we want to do anything Donald Trump wants, like making America safe again, making America well again, making America great again? The Trump bump, the Trump boom in the economy. I was just checking the markets. We're, 330 on the East Coast. And the Dow is barely, ooh, wow, it was up big time today. What happened? Okay, so what happened? Yeah, the Dow is only barely up. It was up big time earlier today. But the NASDAQ, which needed to recover, the Dow's had several good days. So, okay, maybe it's taking a little breather today. It's knocking on the door of 28,000, only 1,500 points from its all-time high. It's basically regained back all the value it lost and then some. Not quite back to the all-time high, but close. The NASDAQ sets a record basically every day. It did reach an all-time high of 12,000 recently. It's back up to 11,200. It's up 125 points today. So the bleeding of the tech stocks, which was predicted, has stopped. I mean, it's been up big time the last few days. So many good indicators, but, you know, people like Maxine Waters, who we haven't heard from a lot lately, they just want to keep talking America down. And I got a point to make here. Back in March, when crazy numbers were being thrown around about a virus that we did not know much about and definitely did not understand, the fearmongers were on full alert. And there was a model by the now disgraced Dr. Lockdown, his Dr. Ferguson, Neil Ferguson, who was caught. He was a guy who was like, Neil Ferguson is from the UK, and he was a now infamous epidemiologist, I believe, from the Imperial College of London. He came up with a model on coronavirus. Then he was caught right after that, after he predicted a gazillion people were going to get sick and die. He was caught violating his own edicts, just like all the left-wing liberal lunatics have, like Nancy Pelosi with Salongate. He was caught out of his home with his mistress in her apartment. Yeah. Whoops. So, you know, it's always it's always rules for thee, but not for me, right? Edicts for thee and not for me. Mandates for thee and not for me. And his model that he said with a straight face predicted that 2.2 million U.S. deaths would occur from COVID-19. Well, if we're to accept that, which we were demanded that we would accept that back in the day, then Donald Trump is responsible for saving nearly 2 million American lives, right? You can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. So I think, despite Bob Woodward's book, there was nothing at odds or oxymoronic about what the president said to Bob Woodward versus what he was telling us in the public. If he had lit his hair on fire, he would have been criticized for that. He was trying to take this slowly and methodically. On the other hand, look at his actions. End of January, he locks down travel from China and eventually the world. And he was criticized roundly for that by the media, which is the communications department these days of the DNC. Joe Biden called him a racist xenophobe. So you can't on one hand say that Donald Trump shouldn't have taken early decisive action to prevent the spread of COVID, and then on the other hand say he did nothing to prevent the spread of COVID, right?
Well, and Ryan, you made this point very early on, and you said, why would Trump sit down with Bob Woodward and have this extensive interviews, 18 interviews with this guy? But that's my only point that I'm like, oh, why would you do that, Trump? But Dr. Fauci came out and was like, well, everything that I said to Trump is what Trump said to you all in the public. And everything that I've heard with this Bob Woodward book is exactly the things that we've been coaching Trump and we've been telling him since he came to us, since we're the experts for advice.
And we knew this was just around the corner. I saw, I think it was Greg Gutfeld the other night, either he was on somebody else's show or it was his show, put together a montage of what Democrat leaders were saying in February. And we know that they were saying, we know what they do. Anything Trump does, they just oppose it. So the minute he did that travel restriction, they said, this is all unnecessary. So they're on record in February saying over and over and over, this coronavirus is not as big of a deal as Donald Trump is making it, and it's unnecessary to do what he's doing.
Go to parades, go to the Chinese New Year celebration in San Francisco, run around Manhattan, right? They said all those things.
Exactly, exactly. And Tim, you know, one thing I don't think we've talked about the blame that China deserves throughout all of this. And thankfully, Trump has said that over and over, because the further we get from it, the more we forget that they really messed this thing up. I mean, not just the fact that the virus came from there, but their response to it, their government response to it has been terrible. But here's the one thing that I don't think we have talked about a lot at all. And that's that their response was to shut everything down. I don't know if you remember in December, January, seeing the images of them boarding up buildings and going, whoa, what is happening in China right now? But the problem is that the rest of the world looked to them as the leaders because it went there first and said, well, how did you handle it? Oh, and your numbers were XYZ, which were all false. Well, then we're going to do the exact same thing, and we're going to shut down our economies and our world just the same way as you did to get the results that you did, which weren't real.
The tail totally wagged the dog, Ryan, and we do not talk about it. It was all a setup, wasn't it? It was like, what better way to ruin one of the most free market countries on the world, lock down its market, close its market, close its commerce? Ryan, that's a brilliant point. It's exactly what happened. And it can be, people can say it's a conspiracy theory, but it's what occurred, and time will tell if we can figure out if the Chinese actually did that on accident or purpose. But there's a lot to look there. And the other thing that bothers me, Ryan, does the Fauci cherry picking drive you as nuts as it drives me, where the left takes the things they like, he says, and ignores the things they don't?
Yeah, it's impossible. When he comes on, I want to listen to what he says, but I have no trust. It's like I'm waiting to see, okay, whatever he says, is it going to be something that the left uses, or is it going to be something that Donald Trump uses? Because he's so all over the place that he doesn't make any sense.
That little knucklehead drives me insane. I really like to get him in a headlock, a little noogie. You know what I'm saying?
I'd like to see that.
No, I'm saying.
I would tune into the webcam, and you can too on YouTube.
Let me get him on the show, guys.
You know those? You know those cartoons where they? I think they did some famous ones back in the George W. Bush era, where they have the faces interposed on like famous wrestlers or something, and they're like cartoons wrestling in a rink and like samurai stuff. And
or was
that a dream I had last night?
Yeah, I think you even dream in politics.
What did I, we haven't talked about things we watched lately. I had something on my mind about, what did I watch? Oh, one of my favorite movies. I don't know why I just thought of this. I have no idea. Oh, because we're talking about, like, world stuff, and this was a movie about someone who traveled the world. Have you all seen the Curious Tale of Benjamin Button with Brad Pitt?
I have a long time ago, though. I want to say when it first came out, which is 2000.
Did you ever see that, Ryan?
I think I've read it, but I don't think I've seen it.
Short story. Very,
yeah,
like,
it's
tiny,
very short story.
Tiny little short story, I think by Scott Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned it into, like, a three-hour movie, you know?
2008 is when it came out. That's
yeah, and who's the female lead in that? She's fantastic. The redhead.
Catherine. Oh, hold on. It's not showing.
Plays his love interest throughout the whole thing. So he's born as an old man, right? When he comes out as a baby, he's an old man. Cate Blanchett, mm-hmm. of course. And then as he gets older, he gets younger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating, it's one of the most melancholy tales. And I know the reason I thought about it. The whole backdrop of the story, especially near the end, is about storms. And actually, it starts off with a storm and lightning and hurricanes. And we've got a hurricane coming up, unfortunately, through the Gulf Coast again.
Right.
And so, yeah, I was just going to ask you guys if you'd seen it. It's a fascinating, great movie.
It's pretty long, though.
Very
it's
long.
It's a pretty long movie.
It's one of those movies that, like, if it comes on, you just kind of settle in. You got those movies where you're like, I know this movie's like 12 hours long,
mm-hmm.
but I just like it. Kind of like white noise in the background.
Yeah,
like,
I'm cleaning and I'll put it on I'm doing something else.
Another one like that is English Patient. You ever see The English Patient with Ralph Fiennes?
Oh, it's been a long time. Like,
yeah, English
I think
Patient.
So. It's getting harder and harder to watch. I don't know about you guys. It's getting harder to watch movies because I'm on my laptop or I'm on my phone while watching the movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And unless it's got my attention fully, it's going to lose my attention real fast.
Well, and we're so used to the 1 hour drama comedy or whatever you're watching on Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Or our minds are getting so trained. Okay, I will focus for 1 hour and then it's over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So watching a 3 hour movie like Out of Africa or something
yeah.
like that, you know,
yes.
which I love those epics. I love just kind of sitting down and chilling out and kind of zoning out and watching those long, intense epics. So
you're so interesting. You really do like period piece type cultural awareness movies. It's just if I knew you just from the radio, I would not say, I bet this is the genre of movie that Speaker Tim Jones likes.
Not sure how to take that, but I'll take it the right way.
Take it all positively.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I would say, Ryan, that's true. And the one of my favorite actors that does, he's such a great character actor as a lead and is in such great period pieces like that is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Where he becomes the thing.
Isn't he a method actor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
immersive.
Okay, another movie like the ones I've just described that you just sink into is his latest rendition of Lincoln.
I've heard great things.
I haven't
about
seen that.
That
either.
Unbelievable and so believable. Like it is an immersive movie where you like feel the grit and the war of the wartime grit of the 1860s, right, in the United States of America. All his movies, going back to Last of the Mohicans.
Gangs of New York,
one of the best intense, ones. And they're all real long.
Yeah, they are.
Age of Innocence, another very melancholy movie, kind of a sad movie.
It's amazing how fast things have moved. I saw just a real quick clip of Dances with Wolves the other day.
Oh, another man. Good one.
And I thought, I don't even know if you could get away with making this movie today in woke culture. Just because it involves Native Americans. I don't know that they did anything terribly wrong, but somebody would find something today if that movie
They would,
came out.
Although I think all the Native American actors were Native American actors.
You know
actors,
what? That's
you know
what
I mean?
It was. That's right. Yeah, it was a bunch of white actors playing Native Americans, or at least some.
I'll tell you, speaking of like woke culture and coronavirus, I don't know how any actor will come back and make movies in 2021. I don't know how they're supposed to recover after the coronavirus, and then on top of that, having the cancel culture down your neck.
What is our one Twitter follower? I think it's Jimmy, who always says Droughtlander, because we're like, we haven't had Outlander stuck. Which
everything's stuck.
Have you caught up on that? Are you?
I haven't caught close? Up yet. Not too close. I got stuck on this other TV show, Cobra Kai, on Netflix, about it. And so I got stuck on that.
So I'm caught up and waiting on Outlander. So I'm experiencing Droughtlander. Mm-hmm. I got caught up on Peaky Blinders.
Yes.
So I'm all caught up on that. I'm waiting on that. And we're getting through Poldark pretty well. You know, the famous Captain Poldark. That's late 1800s UK. So anyway, I think Ryan went to the bathroom.
But there's a show that Ryan loves that I really love.
Yeah, what's that? What does Ryan love?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, okay.
That's it's very really funny. Good. It's not something to watch with your kids.
I got you. Wait, look at that. We are about to wrap up the Annie Fry Show, but we got a very important segment with a VIP, Tony Colombo. He'll be in studio with us to talk about what's on his mind as we prepare to roll into the DGS. And we can take a phone call or two if you want to give us a holler for this last segment. 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry all day today at 97.1 FM Talk.
I want to thank you and acknowledge the work that you've done to be immediate in terms of your response to our FMAG request 14. And we were just talking, Mark Giladucci is the head of the Office of Emergency Service. This may be a record that the states received in the FMAG support, as well as the major disaster declaration, which you referenced on August 22nd, which was profoundly significant, not only to help us support our mutual aid system, but also individuals that are in desperate need of support.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Why do I ask that, Maximus? Because that was Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, praising President Donald J. Trump. Wow. And he was serious.
Mm-hmm.
It was not to provide entertainment. It was serious. And how about that? You can't make this stuff up heading into the election of November 2020 with 49-ish days to go. I was looking at the polls again, Ryan, one of your favorite things.
Thank you.
Do we still have poll music? There we go. This guy likes polls. Tony Colombo likes poll music.
Polls.
Whoa, did I say that? I just did. So, Tony, I was...
We've known each other long
we
enough.
We have long enough to share that with each other. we have a history. I was mentioning that the real... Katie's out of here. I was mentioning the Real Clear Politics average on the battlegrounds was like 3.7%, which is well within the margin of error on generally any poll. But I didn't have the list of what battlegrounds they were talking about. I pulled that up. So, Tony, Ryan, Katie, the battlegrounds are... Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, and Arizona. And when you pull up that chart and look at every single one of those, not only is the average that or tighter in most cases, the only state that's outside the margin of error is Wisconsin. And Tony, I got to think with Kenosha and Milwaukee and this issue of safety and security, I think Wisconsin could narrow as well. So every single battleground would be within the margin of error. Mm. Are you surprised at that heading into the election 49 days out?
No, I think that this election is going to be razor thin again. And I also, you know, we've learned what we've learned about polls. Tim, you were a part of our broadcast in 2016, and we all started that night, election night, thinking, you know, maybe we'll be here for a couple hours. Maybe Donald Trump will somehow stick around a little bit longer than people thought he was going to. And then all of a sudden it was 2 o'clock in the morning and we were announcing Donald Trump as president of the United States. It was crazy. And we all thought it was going to be a short night because of the polls, and the polls were wrong. And I think what's really interesting to expand this conversation on these battleground states, you know, Democrats and the media focus a lot on the states like Wisconsin that Donald Trump just barely won, and how, you know, it was a fluke, or, you know, he somehow was able to pull this off by, you know, a literal handful of votes. But that, you know, that could, they think that they'll, that will go back to the Democrats in this election. Nobody ever talks about the states that Hillary Clinton just barely won.
Right.
Those states are never discussed. States like New Hampshire and Nevada.
Minnesota. Like,
yeah, Minnesota, exactly. States that Hillary Clinton just barely won. The discussion is always, what are the states that Trump barely won, that he wasn't expected to win, and how can the Democrats take them back? Well, that strategy and
that's
that conversation
strategy.
Can go both ways. You can...
Exactly.
You know, what about the states that, like Minnesota, like you just mentioned what 2020's impact on the Wisconsin election will be. What will it be on the Minnesota election, which was a state that Hillary Clinton won?
Trump barely lost.
New Hampshire. I just said New Hampshire and Arizona.
He could win them.
Yes.
I mean,
he lost New Hampshire by like 2,000 votes. Like, I know it's a small state.
That's
but
a
I mean,
precinct.
Exactly.
So for folks to know. That's a medium-sized precinct in the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so there's plenty of room. Your point is there's plenty of room. Plenty of fluidity in the movement of people. And these polls are mere snapshots in time. I would rather look at what demographic is going to go vote for which candidate and how excited are they to do so. That's maybe a better measure of predicting where the election may turn out. The enthusiasm gap, which nobody on CNN or MSDNC will talk about because it's so horrific for them. And if Donald Trump keeps the news positive on peace deals and the economy keeps rebounding and the unemployment numbers, so he took the unemployment number from the month before from like, it was like 12% down to 8. What if the employment number, I'm just going to hypothetically throw it out there, is 4.5%? And going into October, what do you do with that? I guess you just ignore it. I mean, Ryan, we talk about this a lot. The biggest media malpractice these days is not reporting news that doesn't fit your narrative, which is a huge disservice to your listeners.
Yeah, with the economy specifically, I'm just surprised, and maybe you guys in the room are totally on board with this, and I'm just the odd man. I'm just surprised at how many conservatives are on board with spending more money to make the economy better quicker. And I don't know if maybe that's election related, like that it's let's get it back up quickly because it'll look better for Donald Trump. But I'm sort of a fan of them not spending another trillion to $3 trillion.
Because I don't know if we need it, right? It's like, maybe this was a good thing to have Congress do nothing, which is what they're great at. You know, they're great at doing nothing. So maybe we benefit from it this time, because do we need to go much more into debt, which is your point, right? As the economy is massively experiencing rebound.
It's moving in the right direction. Exactly. And the further we get from that moment in August when we were really trying hard to pass another bill and the economy continues to kind of have momentum, you lose the incentive to have to pass something.
Exactly. Tony, you got a cool t-shirt on I was admiring earlier.
Thanks. Yeah, these are brand new.
Second Amendment Radio. I wanted to ask you about that. You know, it's been kind of in the Second Amendment ever since, Robert Francis O'Rourke dropped out of the race along with, who's the screwball from California?
We only have
a couple minutes left. Yeah, it's another 2-hour show there. The other guy that was running for president out there. Anyway. The Second Amendment issue, the gun issue, kind of went away a little bit, but Americans didn't forget about it because, I mean, the firearm sales, I have a lot of friends who are in the business, and I know you absolutely do too, and Mark Cox does, and a lot of great sponsors of all things on the station about that. They've been through the roof. Like, it's been better than Barack Obama.
You have no idea. If you're not involved in the firearms industry, it is insane.
Is it still, booming, right now?
It has not... So it started with coronavirus, and then we went through the unrest, and then we have an election. Yeah. You know, we have all of this, like, perfect storm. By far, the biggest firearms selling year in history. More first-time gun owners than ever before. The run on guns and ammunition has been incredible all year long, and it hasn't let up. And yeah, this shirt you can get at Osage County Guns, one of the sponsors of Second Amendment Radio. They there sell our Second Amendment Radio T-shirts there at Osage County Guns in Wright City.
It's
now,
very fashionable. Go get a T-shirt. Very nice. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
did you see Nancy Pelosi? I know we only have a few seconds left. I just wanted to mention Nancy Pelosi.
What did she do now?
Saying that the peace deal was a distraction.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to the president for a distraction.
Yeah, the distraction is they can't continue to do their narrative while Donald Trump's making the world safer
that
again.
Right before I walked in the room here, so it was fresh in my mind.
Really amazing. Tony, you're going to be hanging here for the DGS, which is about to kick off in just a few minutes. Dave, Rachel, Andrew, Tony, and the gang will be here. Katie, great job as always.
Thanks for coming in.
It was a pleasure to do it. Ryan, always good to see you, my friend.
You too. And really enjoyed it.
I really did as well, and you keep it right here, folks. We've got the DG up next. Annie will be back as soon as possible, and I'll be back tomorrow afternoon on the Annie Fry Show, checking in around 1:25. Keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Good day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.